Accession number 22345, route 12.
Major Perkin, Reel 12. You were saying that you were very disturbed by the orders that you'd heard about to the Gurkhas.
So I asked the reason I should go west in daylight. I mean, it's this kind of risky thing, you know, open ground. I got there. And he said no. And so I think the next night, I was told that the rest is going to have a stack. And I was to get my man out of the way. So I went about 10 o'clock, it was night time. So I pulled my man back right there. And he heard that Dirk was arriving, crossing around, got to the bottom of the hill, started to get up, and then it all started. You could hear it didn't take long. It didn't take long. I doubt if it entered all an hour even. I don't know. But then they pulled out. I could see them all, heard them all going back in. I took up my position. As they were very severe currencies. I think all their currencies were killed. Mostly all ended, mostly by these wretched two mines, I think. So that's that. Got into, you know, I went back once. I can't remember the date of these. I remember going back to Brigade this war, and to stay the night and talk to someone. And then, next morning, I entered Brigade headquarters. And I looked at them over Persiov's. I saw the line, red line. I said, what's that? What's that front line? I said, no way near. I'm about 200 yards from that. you can't be there. I said, I've been there about 10 days. But there's Germans there. I said, well, they are. 30 yards away. So you get a piece of little nowhere ever.
Did the brigade commander come forward to the company positions at all? What about the battalion commander? Was he able to come up to see you in the company positions?
No, he didn't. I don't think you couldn't come up in daylight. So you see about by getting up in night time. I mean, I used to go around my position. Prison, men's prison regularly, and I got mainly got impressed by being very vague, but I was not too foolish. I got to when the Germans were pretty tip a nice flying. I get up and walk down, and my truth always, just to show my face.
Yes. Did you have any casualties while you were up there?
Oh, yes, you see that.
Did you have? Yes.
Oh, yes.
What caused those mainly?
Well, I haven't come to this yet, because I've my date's the wrong one. But this was the Arctic River. The Monastery was bombed. Monastery and Machina Firm. But Monastery was in the bomb line, and so was I. My position was inside the bomb line. We had American bombers coming over, huge thing, 100 feet wide, about 100 yards between there and 80 there, and they're set out over about 2 miles, you're bound to be in some of them. And I was inside the bomb then. The bombs just, we had fragments, even the bombs hitting the monastery, was down on that close. I had a customer there, We had cancer snipers.
Mm. Were they snipers up on the snake's head?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Then, don't forget, there was a cold.
Yes.
And a lot of people went sick with that.
With exposure?
Yes. And they weren't malingering. They were cold. And one person was malingering, I think, was my superior. And so I quickly walked, it didn't matter very much. I got rid of him. I had another general promoted to his prison.
So Subedar was sent back then?
He was sent back then. And another story about it later. He's taken over by another chap.
Were you given warning of the bombing of the monastery? Did you know it was going to happen?
We gave about 3 or 4 hours notice.
Yes.
Nothing at all. We knew it was going to happen probably next day or so. When it's going to happen. But you heard them droning coming over and on all day. Not all day, but all morning. Early morning through. Might be there, eh?
Yes. Did they hit the German positions just ahead of you?
In fact, one day, went along my ridge for, and I looked outside of the flashes, and I saw a British bomber, a dive bomber, came to drop the dive on the monastery. He overstopped the mark, and he came. He made a mistake about eyeballs, and he left his bomb. And I'm exaggerating, but it looked like I put my hand up, took that bomb as it went by, and crashed into the valley of Maloney. But it also got on the other side.
Was there anything you could do about snipers?
No, I can't think of it.
Did you have any snipers of your own that you could have deployed against them?
We made visual spot another side there. There were quite a lot of undergrowth around here, even there. Even with all this study and so on. It was an amazing amount of undergrowth out there. Brambles and all sorts of things. Now, I've been back then since, and it was quite big, but even then, I'm talking about things about 3 to 5 per size, subs.
When you had casualties through wounds or sickness, what happened to them? Could you get them back down the hill?
Yes. The Germans themselves had an understanding. Anyone in Roman, you put out a white trail, a red trail, and took a bus. And as no one told me. In front of me, I could see the monastery. You can see now in my mind's eye, in one corner, north-west corner, and now to me, there, at the bottom, there's a doorway, and must have been there. First aid hooks, because the German movement was taking it there regularly, all with the red fire, no one fired at all until got rid of them that day.
Now, there's always been a controversy about the bombing of the monastery because the Germans have said that they were not actually occupying it, they didn't have any combatant troops in there, and the Allied views that they did. Now, did you see any evidence that the Germans were occupying the monastery or not?
No. The controversy took on a moral aspect too. They may or may not have been there. I don't know. They may or may not. If they even hadn't been there, they'd looked at the vitamin, and that they could see everything out there. They couldn't move in there. How do you stop them on? In fact, of course, when you wanted it, had every excuse for getting into one and using it thereafter as opiate, which they did. So it would be controversial forevermore. You should be very hard to be. You were at the bottom there, and they weren't using it as OP. They weren't defending, I don't agree. But I'm sure they would have had someone in an up room with a telephone and a router set, but they made out of them.
Now, it has been said in justification, even if they weren't there, there might have been, and that the morale of the troops was raised when the monastery was bombed. Was that true of your soldiers? Did the soldiers in your company feel a lift in morale after the bombing of the monastery?
Yes, I think so. All that time I was up there, I'm talking about the personal point of view now, I did not take part in any of the attacks on the monastery. Other people, my job in the whole time I was up there, it's a holding job.
You were defending the line.
Just keeping things, defending the line. I might have warned myself that I had the First World War. So I had other people attacked, had terrible casualties. I didn't attack, but I always had terrible casualties. But I'll tell you about around the time that I got bottom volume. One day, the Germans went up. I don't know who's us. I don't know. It's bombing or shelling at all. Sorry. On the right, where my friend Bottle, who's gone to the sixth company, was. And he got fit in the back side and had to be taken away. He went to the hospital, very badly wounded, and met him back there. And I had to take over. I think there was going on in the levee down there, and the Germans could see everything. So it was decided, this didn't come out in nothing, the incident much, but it's very important. The doctor, I heard he said, so, even on that TV things all right, mentioned it. But it's very important for us. Our facility decided to lay down a smoke screen. And they put filled all day and night. Day and night time, but noon and night. It went on for many weeks. Yes. If the wind was coming from the north, the cell has to be docked in the north of the monastery. Take it down, keep the monastery and in the smoke street, you couldn't see. Unfortunately, my position was in the north. Oh. And so I have these cells also rising in my country area all day and night. And though these cells didn't explode as such, when they froze, they kicked out the base face and out came the smoke cancer, and then the smoke went straight off. So you had this solid shell riding all over there, and it's a base face flying all over the place. Not at all pleasant, I should say. Very unpleasant indeed.
Did you have arrangements with the artillery for a DF in front of your position?
And sometimes I was around the right hand side with the sixth company. Every morning, a shell running my trumpet assistant through there.
These were friendly shells.
No, yes. Well, no. I said, yes. I ran up here and said, get those guns and stop. He said, not all guns. You've been several of them. I said, no. Here the thing smiling down the valley by Bernardo. And we heard him trying to send several days myself. No, you must have imagined it. I said, well, send the gunner up. Stayed with the night with me.
Yes.
And next morning, you see, just send the stuff up here. He's nice, holding on. And so up next morning, down here, and morning, we used to call it something, it was morning, well, south of them, and in my area. Not all of them, just one. He got on the virus with his gun and he stopped them all firing. This fired one by one. He was aiming to that, they were aiming to the other side of the street, they were hoping to hit the German in their rear area there.
But they weren't clearing the crest.
Huh?
They were not clearing the crest.
One wasn't. And he eventually. Everyone all went on. There one tells here, he said, which gun it was. And he stopped there and he moved out of position. But I put three pretty mornings. I put it up there at the dawn. While I was up there, another chap, very good friend of mine, this is Miss McKinney, who was took over my company. I took over Popper's company because Sikh's company's got normally the senior company commander. And by now I was becoming senior company commander. And I certainly missed my experience. So Richard McKinney came up and took over my old position.
What was your new position with the Sikhs like compared to the other one?
not it was the same. In my first one, I was behind the Strait of Sea Hill.
Behind a sheer rock, yes.
And where he was, much more out in the open. Covered the bush. I got, first the officers, bushes sort of six feet high, but she kept empty still. You got away with it.
Were you dug in, or were you?
Yes, well. Yes, I did get down about 3 or 4 feet, 5 feet, and put up stones on the side.
But yeah. So it's partly dug in and partly sang up.
Yes, and covered with gun sheet. When I put a spottle, I took over his dugout. I couldn't line. Who the town is. I had quite a bit of my leader to get there. It's about 5 foot long, I suppose. It's quite wide, about 3 or 4 foot wide. Because after me a while, the seal decided to send another officer to me. And he came and put him sleep in the thing with me.
The other end of it.
He was new to this sort of thing, and by this time I was covered in rice, and I was just smoke. That's how I was saying, $600 a day, which went up to $120, and I used to drink it off. Every night, I at least half a bottle of whiskey, if not more. He would watch me, but I said, we better read these lights in my home. He didn't like it. He thought he would build his own, and I lost if I missed him. He didn't like it. It's good to get somewhere else. Also, he sent out to me, directly or not, I don't know, to be meant to good luck. Anyone who had anything to do with the war always got hurt, was killed or wounded. So he wanted to get out. He meant another hell.
Where were the enemy positions in relation to you in this new company location? Because in the previous one you'd been very close.
Desert Coast, but they had the... I get an idea of it soon. I was overlooked by Chasez, but I wasn't overlooked by those of Mainland Company.
Yeah. So you got Snakeshead over on your right still.
Yeah, they're all the same.
Yeah. And they presumably you were closer to Snakeshead than...
If I was more, yes, because they're closer. But the Germans are really close. But I knew there were 2 miles out. I sent so many of them. And I kept guard. I told my men not to go home. You got to go loo sometime.
Yes.
And you had to train yourself at night time, and where do you go then?
Exactly. Where do you go? You
didn't have time to dig the scene, did he? Just hope to get them there, somehow, haven't they? They're half along with all you. You just did them. Up there. While I was up there, Richard Martinez, who was there when my first visit, he was being... I haven't ever got to quite to the bottom of this. He was in cells or something was dropping on him, whether small mortars or big mortars or spells. I don't know. I found that I got some sort of water, maybe storm water, was shelling his area. And I knew Nestor very well. Very nice stuff. All these men, rightly so, got there, since then he got down. The point is there, he said, just not to worry, he's got a water down. And caught a shell round his feet and blew his stomach's feet and he was killed. Yes.
Were the Germans more active in this area than they had been in the previous one? You said that you more or less got a sort of live arrangement.
Not much in it. See where they're going on the right. They're rather strategy to attack up on Chasehead, which
yes.
I don't know what I did, but it didn't affect me.
But you weren't involved in that
at all. I hold my time at Caesar. I was a sitting position.
Holding the line.
When we pulled out of Vinci, we treated that to a place called the Bowl.
How did you do that? Did you thin out during the night or did you go out?
Yes. And you had a place ready for you when you got back. But the Bowl was about 300 yards behind the front line.
Yes.
And the Germans knew it really very well. You can see the Bowl.
Were you relieved then in possession when you came up to relieve you?
Another division. The Gurkhas, not one Gurkhas, all the sisters, another Gurkhas came and took over with me in my new position. I think it was the 9th Gurkhas, I'm not sure. I think so. Not a second. Anyway, they took over, and either the next day or night after, I saw the men ready to serve them. We heard a lot of firing that night, where I had been. I could have gone about 300 yards away. We didn't take much notice of it because it happened all the time. Then I was sent off next day at the Brigadier. I went up to him. He said, something happened. Your position, the company mother, it came running back last night, said he'd been overrun, and Dermot has taken over his business. And I wasn't there, so that's all I know. And they said, why don't you go up? I couldn't do that. Go up tonight and take over, see what happens there. He's over there. So when I came, I went, well, I didn't like him, because the Gurkhas there. I couldn't see the Carly. You go up and everyone's so close to me, the other, you don't ask me any questions, you shoot first.
Yes.
And, I got there, I started studying Urdu. I couldn't know any Gurkhas. First thing, I had made quite a lot of noise, I did. And then that tap control is a BCO. It's Gurkhas BCO. Because no business officer there, he's not loaded.
Yeah.
And there's Gurkhas, Tippy's horse where I used to be. I was all sitting there, so, we had this, a lot of fire came in. Just, they're very close, and they're doing the knife firing thing. It sounded as if it was a mystery.
So this, they were doing their usual fixed line shooting.
Yeah,
yes.
And he's been overrun because so close, and he's lived it. What happened after that, I don't know. But I took her and then the next flat and the girl came up and took over for me.
Could this VCO, Gurkha VCO, could he speak English or was he speaking
Urdu? No, understand Urdu quite well.
Yes.
They couldn't say anything in this.
So you were using Urdu as a sort of lingua franca?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Mm. Did anything happen that night when you were there with
them? No, not at all. Anyway, I went back. We were just a bit about to pull up to complete it. We got them back to go. And interestingly, in the bowl, one morning, I took one night. It took about 2 or 3 days. Five or six of officers standing in a circle. Having our breakfast, standing up. And the soul traveled around, right to the middle. I got there with a hit in the head, never afraid of it. And then this young officer who had been with me, himself not a safe bet, even though went off to one side. And talking. And that rumour, a silver arrives. I don't know, it's quite a long way, or 70 yards away, 70, 80 yards away. It was all right. But one bit of tassel, it flying through there, lodges in his knee. Wasn't life setting, but.
Very unlucky.
Yeah, he asked me, never telling him.
Was the new division that came up, was that the 8th Indian Division that came up to?
I think it was. Mm. I think it was. The 5th. They were on the main track down the valley later on, across the river. I think it was 8 of them.
Do you think the 5th Indian Division went to Burma, didn't they, in the end?
Who?
The 5th Indian Division went to Burma, gone to Burma.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I wasn't. And they started off.
They were with you in East Africa.
Mm, yes, sir, yes, yes, yes. And they then joined the 8th Army. I knew a couple of people then, that the 3rd First Punjabi.
What was the bowl like? You said it was like, you know, the Germans, it was there. Was it a...
Yes, it was. I got aeroportals, Christina, even now. Well, the other is a... It's been about 50 miles down the shots and about 20 feet each. Just natural bowl. Mm.